Sound suppression water system activated. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Liftoff of Space Shuttle Atlantis on a mission to build, resupply, and to do research on the International Space Station.
Houston now controlling. Atlantis begins its penultimate journey to shore up the International Space Station. Atlantis now in the proper alignment for its 8.5-minute ride to orbit. 4.5 million pounds of hardware and humans taking aim on the International Outpost. 30 seconds into the flight, Atlantis almost 2 miles in altitude, almost 6 miles downrange from the Kennedy Space Center already, traveling 500 miles an hour. The three liquid fuel main engines now throttling back to 72% of rated performance, going into the bucket, reducing the stress on the shuttle as it breaks through the sound barrier. 55 seconds into the flight, all systems operating normally, 900 miles an hour. The speed of Atlantis right now, 6 miles in altitude, 9 miles downrange.
Atlantis, go with throttle up.
Copy, go with throttle up.
The throttle up call acknowledged by Commander Charlie Hobaugh, joined on the flight deck by Pilot Butch Wilmore, Flight Engineer Randy Bresnik, and Leland Melvin. Seated down on the mid-deck are Mike Foreman and Bobby Satcher, kicking off their work week with a Monday commute to orbit.
All right. And we thought we'd kick off our show with the Atlantis shuttle blast off to the International Space Station. How cool is that sound? I dig it. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I loved hearing those commands from the Space Center from the time I was a kid. Now you think about it, the shuttle only goes into next year and then the program is dead. I promise you I will broadcast a show from Cape Canaveral in the near future. So this one is all about securing the International Space Station. In other words, parts, baby. You know, those spare parts they were talking about. High-pressure gas tanks, pumps, power units, battery supplies, parts for the station's robotic arm that so much is made about. All the things that you need up there to make sure that the astronauts, the crew up there, are set for a while. By the way, the astronauts that went into space on the Atlantis will spend Thanksgiving most likely there. And there is one astronaut whose wife is expected to give birth, so it looks like he'll probably have to miss that as well. And what a cool thing to see this one take off. And I think that this struck me as interesting, too, because I happened to get a Twitter from David Gregory. You know who David Gregory is, the Meet the Press guy. And apparently he was in the air and actually saw the shuttle. So he was close enough wherever he was above the skies flying into somewhere where he could obviously see the shuttle blasting off. And what an interesting view I thought that would be. So the shuttle did go off at 2:28 from the launch pad. Launch pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. I am going to take a tour of Cape Canaveral when I go down to Orlando. I guess it's next week. So I'll bring back all kinds of stories. We're hoping that we've got lots of interviews with astronauts. And like I said, in the near future, that we'll be able to broadcast the show from Cape Canaveral, hopefully from a shuttle launch. But you know how these things go. They can't tell you definite times because a lot of times, as you know, the launches are scrubbed. Speaking of being scrubbed, here's something I wish was being scrubbed. The idea that Gitmo was coming to the United States. And you know this. We talked about this a lot on our last show. And if you go to americatonight.net and you go to a section called What You Missed, we post various things from the shows. Look up Jeff Atticott. He's our terrorism expert here on the show. He's great. He comes on. He advises the FBI. He was the one who was behind the School of Terrorism Law in the United States. He served for decades and really knows his stuff, so much so that the government reaches out to him that often he's found testifying. He is so not on board with Gitmo, legally and for other reasons as well. And as you know, if you happen to be listening when he was on the show, he went to Gitmo a little bit over a year ago and saw the feces being thrown and the people being spit on and all that sort of stuff. But the bottom line is, it's not about, okay, these terror suspects are doing this to guards and Gitmo and how can we bring them to the United States. I think plain and simple, it's just a security issue. Now, the push is, look, we got a couple of really depressed areas in the United States. You see unemployment. You take them to Michigan. You take them to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And more importantly, how about if you take the detainees to this Illinois prison? You know how many jobs you'd create? Thousands of jobs. So the new Gitmo would be good for people here on this soil, people who are unemployed in a very economically depressed town. Now, again, legally, there are so many complications to this. And as you know, and as far as I know in my latest check earlier in the day, there has been no funding approved for moving the terror suspects from Guantanamo to the United States. So in the meantime, you've got this deal with the prison and who's going to be there. Then you have the five detainees, terror suspects, headed to trial in New York federal court, because, of course, it's not just Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. So the assumption there, by the way, because, of course, why think ahead, is that they'll probably stay in the nearby Metropolitan Corrections Center during that whole trial. And, I mean, this could be a long trial. And it's going to be probably a temporary holding site, if you will, for any other trials in New York that would come out of September 11th, the attacks. So you could have these terrorists that would be held literally just right around the corner from their courtrooms, right? And then you have the others that would be, if they're going to be tried on U.S. soil, and then it's going to be, New York is going to be the destination, that would be in Illinois in this other prison. So there are a lot of problems, logistical problems too, that are going to be more than a headache for the people who have to deal with the specific situation, guards, etc., security, all of that sort of stuff. But the logistics of this, the trials, the tussles that could emerge in the federal court districts alone would, I think, does nothing here. And I would think you'd have to consider other remote locations, right, to house some of these suspects. And we'll see. We'll see if somehow you've got this relief or this funding that pushes the terrorists or so-called detainees to a bunch of cells at the Thompson Corrections Center in Illinois, and then you have the others that are being tried in New York, and then the question is what happens to the others as related to September 11th. And what about the jury poll here, too? What would that be like? You think it'd be a little bit biased if we're going with a, quotes, fair federal trial? And why should they be processed? Why should they have the same rights that you and I have? Why should that be? Quite simply, they shouldn't. This should have been a military commission, a tribunal. It totally makes sense, and it makes no sense to bring them to New York or, frankly, to Illinois, the rest of them, or any of the other places that they're considering. You might disagree, or you might think I'm right on the money. Either way, throw in your 2 cents during this show, as we have four huge hours here. 800-259-5791. Bugs and a crime. It's interesting. We're going to talk about it next.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes, for women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low cost, online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996, RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grape Seed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
Continues in Cleveland, Ohio, and they're using this thermal imaging equipment and some of that ground-penetrating radar, that's what they call it, outside of the murder suspect's house, Anthony Sewell, who looks to be a wicked serial killer if they can nail him for all these bodies, and not just in the United States and not just in Ohio either, but it's, like I said, becoming a very high-tech kind of thing. And they're finding, again, all kinds of bodies, and they're also worried about some overseas as well. And some of what they're doing to tie him to this has become rather interesting, almost CSI-ish, if you will. Remember how so many of us got sucked into that show and felt like we were learning more about bugs and crime scenes and some of the gadgets that are used? We're seeing this definitely as evidence in these Cleveland murders. Who better to join us than Tim Downs, a forensic entomology expert. And, of course, he is the Bug Man, or he's got the Bug Man series going anyway. His recent book, remember we talked about it before in the show a couple of months ago, Ends of the Earth, revolves around Dr. Nick. Hey, thanks for coming on the show again, Tim. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kate, good to be back.
Let's talk about that. What the FBI is crawling around all over the place. What is it that they're looking to learn from about the Cleveland victims from this form of forensic? How do you say it? Entomology.
Entomology.
It's
the study of the insects that are naturally attracted to bodies when the bodies die. Sort of nature's recycling program, and there's a very predictable order in which those insects arrive. and a very specific timetable that they grow and develop at. And by collecting the insects from those bodies, they can actually construct a timetable to tell exactly how long a body's been dead.
Ooh, and, you know, it's you're an expert in this, obviously. And when you look at death and how you can look at a bug and figure out what's happened with a body, what kind of bugs are we talking about?
Well, it's flies mostly, blowflies and flesh flies, the kind of shiny silver, green and blue ones that you see all the time. Those are the first insects that are attracted to bodies. They sort of circle in the air. They're the females looking for a place to lay eggs, and they look for decomposing tissues because that's where their young will feed. So they're very good at picking up the scent of death, and their rate of development is known exactly by scientists, and that's why they make a very good timetable. After 72 hours of death, forensic entomology is the most accurate way to quantify that post-mortem interval, and it's important because that tells them who's a suspect and who is not.
How long has forensic entomology been around, Tim?
You know, it was first used about the year 1200 in China. There's a story about there was a village and somebody had killed somebody there, and so one of the wise guys in the village lined up all the villagers and had them lay their sickles out in the sun. And they just waited and watched, and flies were attracted to one guy's sickle. Even though he had cleaned it off, there were still microscopic traces of blood, and so he was known to be the guilty guy. So people, just by observing nature, have known something about this for a long, long time, but it's really only in the last, you know, 20, 30 years that it's really come to be a well-known science.
Yeah, no kidding. And as something that's now a well-known science and getting our hands around this and understanding it, how long does this take? Because you know that there are people that are families of missing women who want to know what happened. And, of course, they're trying to tie this to Sewell, the guy that I talked about who's the suspect. How long does this kind of investigation usually take, this kind of work?
Well, unlike television, it takes a lot longer to get your test results. What they're doing with bodies usually when they collect insect evidence is that they have to collect maggots. There's no other way to say it. They have to take them back to a laboratory, and they have to put them in the same conditions they found them at the crime scene, same temperature, same humidity. And then they have to raise them to adulthood. And that's because it's very difficult to determine the species of an insect while it's still in its larval form. You have to wait till it grows up. So they just wait and watch until it emerges as an adult fly, and from that point they can kind of time backwards and make their calculation of time of death.
Yeah. Wow, it's fascinating the way we go about trying to solve crimes. And you talked about this. It's different than TV. I said CSI because, remember, the head investigator, that was his deal. The very first year they did CSI and all the way through, he was the guy who looked at the bugs, and that's always what he went after at the crime scenes. And I thought it was absolutely fascinating. But I bet some of what we see, because I've heard this from other forensic experts in other areas, that, hey, just like what you just said, it's not as quickly done as what you see on the tube, and it's sometimes not quite as glamorous as it's portrayed either. Painstakingly, you have to go through a lot of other hoops. So are there things that we see on TV that just are not accurate? Is it besides the time?
Hey, well, I'll tell you, there's nothing about forensic science that's glamorous. It's pretty dirty work, especially if you're raising insects. But, you know, it takes a lot longer than they show on television. They always have to compress time just for the sake of the TV show. Test results come back instantly. They don't in real life. And it's not always so clear. You know, I've been told by crime scene investigators that they walk into a murder scene and 70% of the time they know exactly who did it. But they have to construct a chain of evidence just for the sake of the courtroom trial, and that's a lot more what it's really about. You know, forensics and TV is always the silver bullet that solves the crime. It doesn't work so much that way in real life.
You know, I understand the books and the passion for the writing and, of course, for what you do, but what ever sent you in the direction of becoming a forensic entomologist expert? When you were a kid, did you just like bugs? Were you fascinated by them? I'm curious.
You know, not at all. It was just several years ago, I was reading an article in a science magazine about this emerging science of forensic entomology, and I thought, first of all, this is fascinating that we've learned to use nature to learn from it this way. And the second thing I thought is, this is gross. And that's when I knew I had the makings of a great story. So I came up with my character, Dr. Nick Polchak, and he's been my central character in 5 novels now.
Well, see, I think you have some another novel possibly brewing here that you could work into some of the things that we're seeing happening in real life, right? Because we're seeing this played out a little bit more, not just in this crime in Cleveland, but in a couple of other spots, too.
Oh, absolutely. Truth is stranger than fiction. I can't make up stuff stranger than what happens in real life. You just learn from it. And, yeah, forensic entomology is used in a lot of situations. It's a very respectable science now. It's been proven. And there are more and more people who do this. Though that's another difference from television. On TV, the guy in CSI, he just dabbled with bugs along with all other forensic tests. In real life, if you want to do forensic entomology, you need a PhD in entomology.
Yeah, that takes a lot of studying, absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of work. Tim, it's always interesting to have you on the show. And, again, you've got the Bugman series, Ends of the Earth. We talked about that last time. People can get that at Amazon.com. I think even in Barnes & Noble, et cetera, any of the bookstores, right?
Absolutely, and they can get the first 3 chapters for free on my website. Just come to authortimdowns.com. You'll learn about any of my novels there.
All right, Tim, thanks. You have a good one.
Thank you, Kate.
So in what Tim's saying, it's interesting because now you've got 11 women that were murdered in Cleveland in this Anthony Sewell. They're trying to put the timeline together for the murder spree. As I mentioned before we went to Tim, they're even talking about the possibility that there are more bodies to be uncovered, not just in the United States, but he was in the military, and they think that there may be more unsolved crimes that they can tie him to. But, of course, one step at a time, they're using the high-tech stuff that they have, searching and trying to review everything, and to make sure that they have all the remains. Remember, they found the skull inside his house. They found some other bodies, too. They were worried about next door. They were worried about the 2 adjoining properties, if there was anything that they could find. By the way, the registered sex offender, which is infuriating to me. So this was a guy who served 15 years in prison. He pled guilty to attempted rape, and now he faces 5 counts of aggravated murder, rape, felonious assault, kidnapping in the deaths, and who knows how many more. To me, I mean, there he was, right in the midst of everybody. And, of course, it's that typical story you see played out on the 6 o'clock news in your local area. Wow, he was a great guy. Always friendly, waved hello, grabbed my mail for me when I was away. And right in the middle of all that, he allegedly was murdering these women. Mm-mm-mm. Odds and Ends coming up moments from now here on America Tonight.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to Liquid Zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free Liquid Zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid Zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? You may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. RMApply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much heck of money you could qualify for, go to RMApply.com. The application is free. Visit RMApply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
If you've got mold, you've got a problem. But if you have Moldzyme, you have a solution. Everyone at one time or another will encounter mold in their homes. It's unsightly and can affect your health. Moldzyme from EcoDiscoveries is the only safe and effective solution for cleaning mold and mildew and eliminating odor. Moldzyme is safe for any surface, wood, concrete, tile, stucco, wallpaper, vinyl, or aluminum siding, painted surfaces, and more, both inside and outside your home.
I use Moldzyme in my bathroom, basement, garage, and deck. Everywhere I see mold, it's magic in a bottle.
Moldzyme is non-toxic, safe for the environment, your family, pets, and plants, contains no chlorine bleach, ammonia, or nasty smell. Plus, it's easy to order. Call toll-free 866-767-2832 or go to moldzyme.com. That's 866-767-2832 or moldzyme.com. That's moldzyme.com. Use promo code RADIO for 25% off your order from Eco Discoveries. Moldzyme, now safe, has an effective side.
What's so crazy about not starving?
To cover yourself and your family in the event of accidents or emergency, you may have home, life, auto, dental, and health insurance.
But what about food insurance?
Water and food are vital to human survival.
So what's so crazy about not starving?
Foodinsurance.com has designed emergency packs and kits with at least 2 weeks' worth of great-tasting food and clean water. Most Foodinsurance.com meals are freeze-dried,
which means they'll last and retain nutritional value up to 10 years.
Foodinsurance.com meals like lasagna, beef stroganoff, and other tasty entrees are quick, delicious, simple to prepare, and start at just $199.99. The low cost is just one reason to get foodinsurance.com.
Need more reasons?
Foodinsurance.com kits come with a lightweight, high-quality backpack and a free utensil tool. Go to foodinsurance.com or call 1-866-946-8366. That's 1-866-946-8366. Get protected at foodinsurance.com.
All right, a couple of big ones for you in odds and ends. You know, I mentioned the Gitmo trials being held far from the prison and what kind of complications could that cause. You think now of the suspected Al-Qaeda members being held at Bagram Air Force Base in a facility there. And you think, well, you know, if you can't keep them at Gitmo, why not put them there? You already have a ton of people there in the first place. Now there's a chance that this could be an Illinois spot. It could be the Thompson Correctional Center because a lot of jobs would be created as a result of it. It's a state-of-the-art facility that's pretty much empty. There's like 200 minimum security prisoners in there right now. In the meantime, you've got the five guys, as I mentioned, headed for trial in New York City, the worst of the worst. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, they're going to stay in a correctional center blocks away for the duration of the trial. You wonder about the security issues there, and then the rest of the bunch, where are they going to end up? And I think it's a logistical nightmare. But the question is, if it would create jobs in your area, I mean, really think about this, because that's what is constantly being pushed, in whether it's Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, or Michigan, or Illinois, this town in Illinois. Would you want the terror suspects there in your backyard, or do you say, well, who cares? Let's just try them here, you know, and move on with it. And I think that the sentiment, surprisingly, is split. Not so much in New York. I think in New York it's more, you know, 70-30. But other spots, it might be more 60-40. Unless I'm reading the polls wrong or reading some of the emails that I've gotten wrong, because some people blasted me for my hard stance on Gitmo, saying it's disgusting what happened at Gitmo, waterboarding, all this other stuff, which, by the way, you know that waterboarding, right, did not happen at Gitmo. Oh, you didn't? Well, it didn't. So that's the other part of that equation. I think that more problems will be created than solved by moving the terror suspects. You might disagree. That still is a little bit of odds and ends. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Okay, a couple of other things making that I found rather interesting. And this is something I talked about, gosh, a long, long time ago. And I might have even brought it up in the midst of one of our Nail the Scores, I think, last year. But the Washington Redskins, who were horrible this season, aren't struggling in the courtroom sense because the U.S. Supreme Court actually rejected an appeal from Native Americans calling the pro club's trademark disparaging. You know, the actual logo of the Redskin. I mean, think of what Redskin means, of course. And then think of the helmets and the face, the Redskin chief on the helmet with a feather. So this has gone all the way up through the court system. And the issue was whether the plaintiffs were decades too late in filing a lawsuit or whether the registered trademark should have been denied years ago since, as the people bringing the suit were saying, Redskins is today and has been historically a nasty racial slur that brings ridicule and contempt and all that other sort of stuff. The big, big legal hassle is over what's called the doctrine of lashes, negligence or delay in asserting a claim. So the Redskins have been around for a long time. The lawsuit was actually first filed in 1992. So, and it was 1933 when the logo was adopted. So because it's been around for so long, I think that saved the logo. And, so the Supreme Court says, nah, we're dumping this out. We're not going to go there with you. There was a formal trademark in 67. It's been renewed a couple of different times with the patent office. That's what you have to do. So they did not get that one erased. Now, this has been around for a long time. Sports nicknames that have been fought before, many of them having to do with Native Americans, but not all. The NCAA, the governing body for college sports, said back in 2005 that 18 schools had to remove hostile or abusive nicknames or mascots. And there were big fights over this because of the tradition for a long time over whatever the mascot was. A judge last week blocked some of the big push by the University of North Dakota to change the team's name, the Fighting Sioux. The College of William and Mary removed two feathers on its sports logo after the NCAA deemed it insulting to Native Americans. The school was allowed, by the way, to keep the tribe nickname because they've been known as the Indians for decades, actually. Florida State, of course, has the Seminoles. The Central Michigan University has the Chippewas. And, you know, who knows how some of these will stand and some of them won't stand as insulting. I don't know. I guess, and of course, I am not a Native American person, but I can understand, if you wind it back decades, some of that hatred and how somebody from the culture would feel. But I don't know. I get the idea. It's supposed to mean warriors. It's not supposed to be an insult, especially when you watch the NFL and the way they crack each other's skulls open. It's supposed to mean, wow, we are strong. We are determined. We are going to kick your butts. We are the Redskins. We are strong. We are there. We are in your face. But again, the term Redskin, if you went back, especially decades, it would register as incredibly insensitive to so many people. I mean, it's a great fair or foul. Is it too over the top? I think it's a little too over the top. I think it's too over the top for me. I mean, again, this has been, I think the Supreme Court did the right thing. This is something that's been around for a long time. It wasn't brought up back many, 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 many eons ago when the name first came about. But I don't think this is the last that we'll see of these kind of complaints, by the way. Also in odds and ends, Elizabeth Smart, the whole kidnapping deal, the suspect in the Elizabeth Smart kidnapping actually pled guilty. Good for Elizabeth Smart, by the way, a couple of months ago for facing them in court I thought that was great because it has to be just sickening for her when you think of how many years has gone by to have to open up that wound. She was just a kid, and what an abusive, sick situation. And what I don't understand about these situations, just like the girl in California, is how these women stand by these guys. What are they thinking? What are they doing with these guys? And so, of course, Wanda Barzi, who was with him in the Elizabeth Smart kidnapping, she was the woman that was accused with her, I guess, then husband, right? She's charged, thank goodness, with kidnapping and unlawful transportation of a minor with the intent to engage in criminal sexual activity. And to me, this is a good thing that she pled guilty, because where was she going to go from this? Originally, remember that she wasn't pleading guilty. So obviously they know, look, we got you nailed here, so you be the judge. Which street are we going to walk down, and are you going to cooperate, and are you going to turn some evidence for, you know, against Mitchell, because Mitchell was the guy. And just such a sad, sad story. The mock ceremony they perform, she's just a kid. It just breaks your heart, except for that apparently she's dealt well with this, with all the conversations and psychologists, etc., that work with her, apparently, and she's able to face them in court. So good for Elizabeth Smart. She's 10 times the woman that scumbag woman would ever be. Why some woman would stand with a guy like that and hurt a child? Ugh. Again, especially a woman. Why? That's what you just constantly ask yourself, I think, in these cases. All right, more of odds and ends so we can catch up on a couple of other things. This is a big one. We talked about this a lot. Remember all the celebrating over the New York 23rd race? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, that congressional race, and the fact that you had the Conservative Party candidate Doug Hoffman, who conceded on election night after he learned that he trailed the Democrat Bill Owens by more than 5,300 votes. But now that has shrunk after the re-canvassing, and apparently there were a lot of absentee ballots that had to be counted and of course weren't. So now Hoffman has unconceded in the New York special House election because the margins have changed dramatically. And he is unconceding. You gotta love that. They're still counting 10,000 absentee ballots. 10,000. So here's the weird thing. Owens, sworn in just in time on November 6th, right before the Democrats voted on the health care reform bill on Saturday. So if Hoffman comes away with the votes, Owens would have to be removed from the office. Hoffman, however, I mean, if that's likely, Hoffman would have to take over 65% of the absentee ballots in order for him to win this thing. So he still is, you know, he's unconceding. I think that's probably smart, I guess, and as ceremonies go, just to say it, put it out there. But will it hold up? He'd have to be, it is pretty hard. He'd have to get that 65%. If he does win, wow. How does that make that situation look? That's crazy. But absentee ballots and the people who, where they were voting, yeah, it could make it was that close that it could make that much of a difference. So I think it's probably this, you know, the smart way to go on this one. All right, a lot of buzz about Sarah Palin, and of course a lot of people are having Sarah Palin on their shows, by the way. We're trying to talk to her here on America Tonight if we can figure out a time to make that work out. She was on Oprah Winfrey. She's been on a lot of the television shows, whatnot, talking about her book, her life, what happened with the McCain thing and some other stuff along the way. Going Rogue, as you know, is the title of it. Stay with us. We're not going rogue. We're going away for just three, and then we're back.
Let's get down to it. Money is tight. We at Life Change Tea know this. So try our package deal and save some bucks. Feel better. Lose weight and feel better. Oh, yeah, I said that. And here's a thought. When you lose weight, you eat less. Less food saves you money. So now Life Change Tea makes you feel better, helps with your weight problem, and you will save money. It doesn't get any better. Order today. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. You've heard it. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Lose weight, feel better, and save some bucks. That's GetTheTea.com.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Next week is already Thanksgiving. Let me be the first to say happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Start preparing that list in your head for the biggest turkeys of the year. I know it's a cliche, but we got to have some fun on this show. I got a list a mile long. And in fact, that assignment goes double for the crew. So, Donovan Mattson, are you listening? Are you with us, Donovan?
I'm here.
Think of your turkeys. You got to give us at least three turkeys.
I will apply myself with dedication to the project.
Just make sure it's something, somebody that the common man at least knows. All right, biggest turkeys. I'm serious. We're going to do it next week here on America Tonight. And also want to remind everybody, don't forget about Nail the Score. Nail the Score this week, of course, is the normal time, but next week it's going to be on Tuesday, so we're going to have a jam-packed show. Next Tuesday, I'm going to Florida, so I have a couple of days off to spend with my family, go to Cape Canaveral and scope out the sites down there to try to get some astronauts on and set up a remote to see the shuttle for America Tonight. So wish me luck on that one. What if they asked me, hey, do you want to come on board? That could have happened at once, at one point probably, because of the Challenger, what happened in the 80s. Remember the first teacher, Christy McAuliffe? If that had worked out, if things had been different, who knows what we would be doing in space with people who weren't astronauts. And there is, of course, the thing that's going on with the so-called, I don't think they call it space shuttle, space travel. Remember the thing with the Virgin guy that he's doing in New Mexico a long time? And we'll have people on about that. A long time ago, right when there started to get some buzz about it and they were starting to build, we talked to some people about paying to go a little bit up into the atmosphere and how they would feel about that and the weight training stuff, the weightlessness training that they would have to go through, and how interesting actually that would be, I think. And you're not going off in a rocket to the moon, but you're going out there in the atmosphere. So they say it's safe, but it seems like it would be a little bit scary, just a little bit. Kind of like when you're on a roller coaster times three. And, you know, you do, for you guys listening, come on, you know, you do the macho thing. But it's this, now the way they make roller coasters, the 10 million Gs or whatever it is, it's not an old rickety roller coaster anymore like on Coney Island or Kings Island in Ohio, where you just go down some loops and, oh, geez, your stomach kind of did some flops. I mean, you're talking about incredible centrifugal force and amazing things that happen to you in some of these rides. You know, I like to play the brave person with my nephew, because he always picks me to go on these crazy rides. So he doesn't care what it is. The scarier, the better. And especially when it comes to roller coasters. But like I said, the roller coasters aren't like they used to be. There's a zillion of them, and they're crazy, crazy upside down, crazy amount of force, and poof, a couple of those, and I'm done. I am done for the day. Look, kid, I love you to death. Pick two rides, and I'll do the two rides, but I'm not doing 50 rides on these loops all over the place. No way. All right, speaking of loops of a different sort, I talked about this, about Sarah Palin now getting a lot of attention. And, of course, you know, she's got a book out, and everybody wants to talk to her again and to find out more because of some of the things that were written in the book. And what's interesting, and a bravo to her, actually, for saying this. I think this is interesting. She said that she thinks the Republican ticket lost the 2008 presidential election because Americans were looking for change, and not because she undermined the campaign or was unprepared for the vice presidential seat. She talked about that in the interview with Oprah Winfrey that was on Monday, and said, you know, the economy tanked under a Republican administration, let's face it, and people wanted something different, which is true, right? Didn't you think that's what the theme obviously was of the Obama administration? Change, and that's the whole thing. The last eight, get rid of that, and, you know, we've got something for everybody, and if you didn't vote for me, that's okay, because I'll win you over, remember all of that? So I think she's right. I mean, I don't think you can blame her for that loss, because really, I don't know, think of the other folks that could have been the VP part of that ticket. How much of a difference would they have made? Enough to push out Obama? I don't think so. I think she's dead on right about that. So now it's kind of curious. She's got this book out that's 413 pages, Going Rogue in American Life. And she fully admits, you know, she said she didn't have a good interview with Katie Couric. But she says she wishes, you know, to be honest, that she had given some exact examples when she was asked what newspapers she reads and all that other sort of stuff. And she felt like slighted, annoyed, whatever, suggesting that the suggestion that Alaskans are Neanderthals and uneducated. So she went through a couple of different things that I thought were kind of fascinating for that kind of a show. And she did say, I'm concentrating on 2010 and making sure that we have issues tackled as Americans. She avoided 2012 as to whether or not she's running for president. Her name keeps coming up in the polls, and there's a lot of other names come up too. Mike Huckabee's name is up there. Governor Paul Lente's name comes up, and Mitt Romney's name gets recycled again. Newt Gingrich is another possibility, at least for Republicans, of course, we're talking about. And there's no, I mean, 2012, it's a little bit down the road. Of course, not if you go to the movies and see the movie 2012. We told you on our last show that many people obviously trotted out over the weekend to go and see it. You know, the whole Mayan calendar thing, the end of the world, and you have John Cusack who's in it. Well, guess what? I went to see it. Somebody gave me a free ticket, so I had a ticket, and I decided I would go. And I went to see it, and I have to say, it was actually, it wouldn't be normally that I would go and see, but it was actually a lot better than what I thought it was going to be. I mean, it's the typical Hollywood thing where I don't want to give the whole deal away in case there's three people out there who are going to go to the movies and pay their $9 or $8 or whatever and go see it. But you see the unbelievable Hollywood effects. Just picture pretty much any of our big cities being destroyed before your very eyes, and you got the picture there, right? Like Independence Day, which, by the way, the guy who did Independence Day, I think, was involved in this. It's that same sort of deal. California, I'll just say this, boy, California really, really, really gets nailed in that movie. But it brings up that whole question of the 2012 discussion. And in the movie, they don't really touch on that so much as surviving it. You know, what's the moral dilemma, and do you make a big announcement because you see that everything's going to basically explode and we're going to be covered in tsunamis, water all over the world. So do you tell people, or do you have certain people, especially those with money, paying to create something different, some kind of an ark or whatever, so that they can continue civilization in another form? So from that point of view, I think it was fascinating, but it wasn't what I expected. So it was decent in one sense, but it was, again, the far-fetched, over-the-top Hollywood-type effects that you would expect, where unbelievably planes are getting out of situations that they would no way get out of because there's too much falling down around them, and then cars getting out of certain situations too, but I don't want to give it all away. Speaking of California, one quick one about California here, and a quick note since we're talking about destruction and Cali. The U.S. Geological Survey is saying a magnitude 4.6 earthquake really shook up a remote area of the Mojave Desert in Southern California. Boy, the Mojave Desert always gets nailed with stuff. Luckily, not a lot of people out there, but the epicenter was, you know, what is that, 117 miles northeast of downtown L.A., and then they had some after effects that could be felt outside of Palm Springs. You can feel that sort of tremor thing if you're in that area. It's like a rolling type feeling that I hope you never experience, my friends.
Six, five, three, two, one, zero. Lift off of Space Shuttle Atlantis.